Proverbs chapter 3. Let's stand as we read about five or six verses. Beginning verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with the substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you that I have an opportunity to speak tonight, and I pray that you would anoint the words that are said and meet the need of every heart here. And even has already been prayed, if there's one here that's not absolutely sure, they're on their way to heaven. Dear God, may the Holy Spirit prick their heart tonight, draw them to Christ that they might be saved. For all of us, Lord, help us to live better, to be a better testimony, more vocal witness of that which you've done for us. And we'll thank you for all you accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. This year, I've been preaching for 47 years, and I've been traveling for 39 years all across the country. Not one time have I ever gotten up in the morning, got dressed, got in my car, and took off without knowing where I was going. And yet that's how people live their life every day that are not saved. And I want to talk to you tonight about this theme. Decisions that you make will determine the direction that you go, which ultimately will determine the destination that you get to. If you're headed nowhere, you're going to go nowhere. In your spiritual life, if you're saved, if you just get up every morning and walk through life and have no goals set, nothing determined, predetermined to where you're going to be going and everything, you're just going to wander through this life. You're saved, you're going to go to heaven. Thank God for that. But it may not be a real pleasant time. You know, in heaven, the first thing we're going to go to is the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to be judged for what we've done this side of heaven after we've been saved. So this is very important that you think about this. A person's decision determines his direction, which in turn determines the destination. Bad decisions now in your life can lead to a disastrous outcome. And all of us need to be aware of this, especially young people. You've got most of your life ahead of you. Some of us are in the last few years of our life, but we've still got some time ahead of us. And decisions that we make as youngsters can literally ruin our life, or even decisions we make as adults can ruin our testimony, can ruin our marriage, can ruin everything that's in our life. So we need to be conscious of what's going on and to plan. Now, a person decides to accept Jesus Christ. When he does, his direction changes. He is a new creature. All things are new. Old things are passed away. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I remember the night I got saved. And I've told you about it probably many times. I've preached here at the coffee table there in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I prayed and accepted the Lord. And immediately from that time on, I was a changed person. I went back to the ship. My vocabulary changed. My actions and activities changed. Going to church was no longer going just because Connie was asking me to go with her. It was my desire to get up and go. And Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Now, I'm talking to the choir here tonight, but I don't understand people that get saved and only want to come Sunday morning. I'm wondering what they're going to say to God. Well, I gave you a little bit. And what's the Lord going to say? He's probably going to say, well, I've got a little bit for you in heaven. for those that have been faithful. He's going to make us rulers over many. Remember when he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou'st been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many. And that's kind of life I want. As a result, when your direction changes, your destination changes. Philippians 3:20 says, now that our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven. Once you get saved, you're no longer an earthling. You may live here on earth, but you're an alien. Your real home is in heaven, and I thank God for that every day. Every morning when I get up, I'm glad that this is not my home. The weather, the activity, and all the ungodliness that's going on right now just breaks your heart, doesn't it? To see America going, I mean, we're going at breakneck speed now. It's not just going downhill, it is barreling downhill. And unless God intervenes, there's not going to be a whole lot of change. God can change. I believe he can send us a great revival. But I also believe that the coming of the Lord is in the last seconds of eternity. And the Lord could come even tonight while we're speaking, and it would not shock me at all. I hope that you're ready to go. I hope that you're prayed up. I hope that you've got your life cleaned up, that if the Lord were to come tonight, you say, as John said, even so, Lord Jesus, come, and come quickly. And, what a blessing it would be. So let me give you a couple illustrations in the Bible of people that made decisions. The first one is Jonah. We all know what Jonah did. God told Jonah to go up to Nineveh. Had he gone up to Nineveh, what a blessing that would have been, but he had to take a roundabout way to get there. Before he went to Nineveh, he went down to the ship, and then the ship went down to Joppa. And anytime you're running from God, you're going in a downward direction. Whenever you take things into your own hands, you're not elevating anything. You're actually abasing yourself before a holy God. It's better to stand up and say, God, not my will, but thy will be done, and turn yourself over to him. Jonah decided to disobey God. As a result, his direction was downward towards, towards Tarshish. But he was to go to Nineveh. And he totally rebelled against God. But when God got a hold of him out of the belly of the whale, he went to Nineveh. I hope that we don't have to go through things like that to find God's will for our life. If you'll be a student of this word, day in, day out, trust it. You don't always understand it, and you don't always know all there is about it. As I said, I've been preaching 47 years now, and every year when I go through here, I mark new verses in the Bible that God just speaks to me in a way that he never has. And as long as he does that, I feel like there's a purpose for me staying in here. I don't think I'm ever, ever going to be completely saturated with God's word. And you probably will not either. Jonah's destination took him into the belly of a whale. And I don't know. I don't think I've ever been in the belly of a whale, figuratively or literally. I have had my times I've disobeyed God, intentionally disobeyed God, and done things that I know that's contrary to God's will. But I have never, ever made that a way of life for me. Things happen, and maybe things have happened in your life. Young people, maybe you haven't had time yet, but you get older. As adults, you're going to go through things, and you're going to have some complications come up, and you're going to have some decisions that you'll make that'll probably be the wrong decisions. It might be the wrong place to work, the wrong place to live. I hope it's not the wrong marriage. If it's the wrong marriage, you're stuck. There's not a whole lot of hope for you on it. So that's why you need to be very, very careful in picking a spouse. And let God do it. I didn't know it at the time, but after Connie and I got married and I got my life straightened out and looked back, I can see how God directed my life in spite of me, not because of me. And when God reveals things to you and you know it's God's working, you'd best act on it right away and get going. So Jonah went the wrong way, ended up in the wrong place. But we see another one in the scripture, Joshua. Joshua was a man of God. To my knowledge, I don't think there's one negative thing about Joshua. There may be, I may have missed it. Whatever it is, it's not something that was a major thing. Joshua was a man that served God. He served Moses, served God by serving Moses, being a faithful second man, and doing those things that Moses sent him out to do. Moses, when Joshua and Caleb came back with the good report, and they said, God's given us the land, let's go and claim it. But you had the 10 negative votes. Naysayers say, oh, there's giants in the land. Giants in the land. Well, listen, young people and adults, we're giant slayers. Not in the flesh, but in the word. David was just a young man, but he took care of a giant, didn't he? Not in his own power, but in the power of God. So don't let things like that happen. Joshua decided to obey God. As a result, his direction was that he and his family, we will serve the Lord. And because of that, his destination was into the promised land. Amen. And that's the way it should be if you do that. Now let's look a little bit at the scripture that we read tonight back in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, the decision that needs to be made, trust in the Lord. That's a decision that you need to consciously make every day, every moment, every second of your life. You see, there's nothing that happens to us that we ought not be in tune with God. I don't care if it's going to school. I don't care if it's going to work. I don't care if you're sitting home in your easy chair, whatever it is. You and God are a tandem. And you need to trust God. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. The word trust means to be confident in. To be confident in. Some of us have a little more confidence in ourselves and in things than others. Some people are just naturally fearful and so on. But when it comes to the Lord, you can trust in the Lord. And to be confident in the Lord means to be bold. Now, being bold is not always putting your chest out and shaking your fist. Being bold is just living for God and giving God the glory for what goes on in your life. And just being a companion of God. It also means to be careless. Now, not careless in the sense of, can't think of the word right now. When we're careless at work and we let things happen. I'm not talking about that kind of carelessness. I'm talking about careless in the sense we don't have to worry about our life. Our life is in the hands of God. And it's up to Him to guide us and direct us. And I don't have to care about where God sends me. You know, you've all heard the saying about missionaries. They're safer in the deepest, darkest part of Africa, if that's where God sent them, than they would be on the streets of New York or even the streets of here in Jasonville or Hymera. When you're with God, God's hand is protection. And that's why we don't have to care about things. Financially, we don't have to care a lot. Now, I know that's a difficult thing. I Went through many years of a lot of cares over finance. How am I going to meet needs and so on? But God's always been faithful, and I've never missed a meal. We can all say, a lot of us say amen in that. So trusting in the Lord is trusting as in a refuge. It's like you go in Him, and the wind and the rain and all the things outside the world don't amount to a hill of beans. You can trust in God. And if God's word promises, we can claim it. And the problem is not that we don't know the promises. The problem is our faithfulness in understanding the promise and just taking advantage of it. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart means to totally trust in God. Psalm 27:1 says, "The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Now, we can say nobody, but that's not altogether true. There's one person in this life that I really fear, and that's me. I can't control what you do, where you go, what you think, who you marry, how you do. As a pastor and as a preacher and as a Christian, we can try to help influence you. But the total decision is yours. And you ought to be the one person that you fear in this life. Because I'm the only one that can destroy my testimony. I'm the only one that can deter me off of the track of where God's put me. And I thank God that over the time now, 47 years, I haven't always been faithful to the Lord, but I'm thankful that after 47 years, I'm still on the right path, headed in the right direction. It hadn't always been as faithful as it should be, but thank God it's been in the direction. And when I got off a little bit this way or a little bit this way, God had a way of bringing me back. And the way bringing me back is a daily habit of the Word of God. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." During those sad times in my life, and you don't need to know what they are, I'm not going to tell you. I knew what they were. But even during those times, I never quit reading the Bible. I was somewhat cold and indifferent in the things of God, but I always relied on the Bible, and that's what brought me back. If you turn your back on God and God's word, you've got no alternative but to just go astray and keep going. So first, we're to trust in the Lord. Secondly, the direction. Look at verse 6. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil." The direction. We make a decision, we're going to serve God, we accept Christ, and we're going to walk with God. And then he directs us where to go. The word acknowledge in verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him," means to be acquainted with him and to have an understanding of him. You know, we know each other. We know our spouses. We know our children. We know each other here at church, and we're acquainted. Unfortunately, as you get a little bit older, you know who the people are. You just can't remember their names anymore. And that's literally, that's not a joke. This year, it's been 18 years since Connie and I joined this church. I have a cheat sheet in my Bible with a bunch of names, the church directory. And sometimes I sit out there and actually go through it before I come in church. And, you know, it's embarrassing to come up to Pastor Ross and say, "Hi, Brett. Now, what's your name again?" And some of you know this because I've asked your name over and over and over. But I try to write it down because if I write your name down, it makes a mental picture up here and I can get the name and the face together most of the time, not always. Okay. But to be acquainted with God. The world doesn't know God. They do not know our God. Most religious people do not know our God. Oh, they think there's a God up there, but he's an impersonal, uncaring, something up there. Why doesn't he do something to make my life better? That's all they want. But when you know God as God, the one that created this earth, created Adam and Eve, and all the things that happened, I don't understand. I witnessed someone just recently, and they had been saved in the past, or at least to my knowledge they had. But their question was sort of like this: well, if God's really God, why is things happening like it is? Well, that's not for me to question. God's ways are way above mine. I can't answer that. I don't even attempt to answer it. I just say that's in God's hand. But I know this. I know firsthand things that God has done in me and through me to prove to me that he's there. He's alive and well, and he knows who I am. And even though I'm not perfect, I know that he's watching over me and guiding my steps. And if the Lord were to come tonight and the rapture would take place, the ones in the grave go first, and I'm going to go. I'm not staying behind. A lot of people that are playing religion and going to church and making little club out of it, I don't know about them. I don't know about them. And that's why you need to be in a church like this, where Pastor Ross preaches the gospel straight and hard and pounds on it, because we need it. You know, I was a kid. My dad used to say to me when I was a kid, he'd say, "Joe, what am I going to do with you?" That was when Plainfield Boys School. He said, "Am I going to have to take you up Plainfield Boys School?" Thank God he never did. But I'm sure he wanted to numerous times. I needed that. I needed direction in my life. Even though I didn't heed it, I needed it. And we as God's children need it. And so we need to be acquainted with God. Now the word direct, it says there in verse 6, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. Direct means to make straight. Straight is the way that leads to life everlasting. Wide is the gate. Wide is the gate that leads to everlasting punishment. Few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. We're never going to be the majority. And here in America, we're becoming less and less of even whatever we've ever had. And it's going to find out, we're going to find out within the next few years who the true are that are on the straight and narrow, and who's just walking down the path, and when the wide path opens up, they're going to go that way. It's going to divide the chaff from the wheat. Make sure you're on the right path. Pastor preaches, and I use this same illustration everywhere I preach. Is there a definite time in your life that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you accepted Christ as Savior? I'm not asking, is that the time that your life changed like mine changed overnight? Not everybody does that. I realize that. But I know this. I look back that Tuesday night, November 1966. Nothing can ever erase that from my mind. I may forget your name. I may forget a whole lot of things, but I'll never forget that, because I rehearsed that in my mind, like a pastor says, to rehearse that day you got saved and keep it fresh on your mind. And I do that over and over and over again. Can you point to a day and time? I'm not talking about the date. I'm talking about a day and a place that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior in the timeline of your life. This side, you were unsaved and you know you'd split hell wide open. But you accepted Christ, and on this side, you know that you know that you know. If you don't, tonight you ought to make sure of that, because your direction needs to be set by God, and it means to be straight. God is straight and narrow. He's not the God that's going to let us come in any haphazard way, living a good life, being a good neighbor, being a good father. There will be a lot of good neighbors and good fathers that split hell wide open. You get in heaven because of the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary for your sins and mine. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. It also means to make it right, pleasant, and prosperous. It sort of has the idea of refreshment. Like right now, my mouth feels like cotton. I could use a bottle of water if anybody's got one. But refreshment, refreshment. What a blessing it is when your mouth gets like I am right now and that sip of cold water goes in. Or you've been out working and you're sweating like everything profusely, and you come in and you get that glass of lemonade or that glass of iced tea. That's the thought of having that relationship with the Lord. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" That's the attitude that we ought to have towards the Lord. God is not that ogre in the sky that we've got to be feared of and so on. He is that lover in the sky that loves our soul and will meet the drinks that you need. By the way, that's not been mixed. They do that in the back room for the pastor. Okay. "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And then the next one, we have the decision, the direction, and the destination. That's the good part. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Health means source of nourishment and strength. I've never gotten too hungry. I don't let that go too long. But can you imagine what it would be if you were out in a desert? I saw just on the thing here about this girl, the plane went down. And I believe her parents were killed in it, and she survived. And she fought her way for 2 days through a backwoods area before she was rescued and saved. I imagine she was pretty hungry after that. If I go 2 days without eating, I'd be famished. The body just craves that nourishment. And that's natural. God made us that way. Just some of us overdo it. Shall be health to thy navel. It means a source of nourishment and strength. And that comes through God's word. Hiding God's word in our heart and study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And it has the idea of beverage or moisture or refreshment that I just spoke about before. And actually, I read this verse out of order. Psalm 42 should have been down here. I taped it on here, and you got to forgive me. I had it in the wrong place. But this is where that Psalm 42 comes in. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? We ought to thirst for his word. We ought to thirst for his presence and working in our life and the fellowship and the watch care that he gives us. It's available. It's available. But we mostly turn our back on God. Not always. As a result of this, when you do this, you make the right decision. You head in the right direction. You're headed towards the right destination. And that's what I do. I've been traveling 39 years. I make phone calls all the time, and I get invitations to come. But when I leave here on Saturday, like I leave this Saturday, I'm going to Pocahontas in Arkansas. And then down to Wake Village in Texas. And I'm going to Benton, Arkansas, where Pastor was last week. Remember, he came home on Wednesday night, said he'd been down Benton with Brother Ken Graham. I had called him on Tuesday. I didn't get through to him. But I got through to him yesterday. I'm going to be at his church. And probably when I come back from that, I'm going to come through Missouri and stop at a church up there. But when I leave one church heading the other, if I don't have one to go to, you know where I'm headed? Back to the barn. Back home. Back to my place of comfort. Back to my easy chair. Back to my birds. If you've been over at my house lately, I've got a big bird thing all over my front porch, and I sit there and watch them 2 or 3 hours. I enjoy it. They're God's creation, and they're good friends. I think they're getting used to me. The little hummingbirds, they'll fly right up just about 3 or 4 feet away and just look right at you. And all the other birds, the one that I'm feeding, giving everything, man, I open the door and 50 birds go flying away out of the bushes and off of the porch and everything. But that's my place of comfort coming back. And that's symbolic of being right back in the center of God's will. Don't ever leave it. As a result, you make the right decision, the right direction. You're going the right destination. Look at what happens here in these verses. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with first fruit of all thine increase. That means you're going to have to give something. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is sort of a cause and effect. You give, and God fills you back up with more. That's just the way God works. I've told you this before. When I got saved that Tuesday in November, and I forget how long it was. It wasn't very long, a week or two, probably within a month after I got saved. Connie said, you know, we need to tithe. I said, what's tithe? She said, 10% of what we make. I said, okay. If that's what we should do, we ought to do it. You see, when she was a little girl, her parents taught her that when she got her allowance, I think it was $1 a week back then, she put a dime in the offering. As about a 12-year-old when she got saved, she learned a good principle. And you cannot outgive God. Pastors said it, and I've said it over and over. When people come in for counseling and they're having financial problems, first thing you ask, are you attending church regular? No. Well, you can't expect anything. Are you tithing? No. Well, how do you expect God to meet your needs? You don't give to the church to meet the church's needs. This church is going to go on with or without my giving and with or without your giving. You give to God, to the church, so that God will meet your needs. And I think most of us could raise a hand and say, amen, brother, that's the way it is. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not in thine own understanding. I can't explain it, but I believe it, and God's been faithful in it. Let's bow. our heads in prayer. I think that probably most everyone here tonight is saved. Is there anyone here that would say by an uplifted hand very quickly, "Preacher, if I were to die right now, I'm not sure, not 100% sure that I'd go to heaven"? Anyone like that? Quickly, raise your hand. Adults, teenagers. Okay. There may be some here that are struggling with things with God. Don't ever give up on God. Don't ever give up on church. And you haven't, you're the cream of the crop of this church by being here tonight. And I know that, and Pastor knows that. But don't ever give up on God. God may test you a little bit like he did Job. But he said, "Naked came I in the world, and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord." That's a hard lesson to learn, but it's a good lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for letting us be here to be able to preach and share this message. I pray now that you would touch the hearts of everyone here, Lord. There may be one not sure they're saved. Let them come tonight and seek counsel and find out for sure. Maybe some other decisions need to be made. Whatever it is, we'll certainly praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.